Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Roll damn tide!
Well, that show took a turn. It wasn't exactly what we expected, but thanks to Adam Hogue and Brandon Thorne. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell, Evan Thomas, Rick Camp, Mike Rankin, and Brandon Fryer for their help as well, because that was... it's just going to keep getting better. And I don't even know if they're going to try to patch this up or what they're going to do, but Lawrence Holmes is here with more than enough stuff.
October 8th, take Bama in the points! Roll Tide! Jimbo and the boys coming to Tuscaloosa! And it's going to be a problem for A&M. Run it up! Run it up, Nick! Run it up! I think it's Bama by 6.5 right now. I expected that number will change today.
I'm going to talk. Roll damn time.
You better believe it, Mike Rankin!
I never thought I'd hear something like this.
College football is back, baby! We back!
You couldn't, even if you were writing a pro wrestling script, that's what this reminds me of.
Now, Dan, here's the thing. There are some people who believe that's exactly what this is.
Oh, no.
There's... And Jimbo, oh, really? Because last I checked, Nick Saban has been in a bunch of movies, and he's got commercials with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, who is now also in this. Mm-hmm.
They also convince all these recruits they're all going to get playing time, too.
There's that.
NCAA.
It's so great. It's just great. This is what the SEC does in July. I've been trying to convince Mitch and Ryan that I need to be at SEC Media Days. Days, plural. I just want to be there because it's ridiculous.
Well, see, now you just undermined your argument because you say you just want to be there.
I do.
They're not going to send you there.
They should. They should send me there because of the type of content that we might be able to get. You've got other coaches just kind of sitting around just like, oh, man, this is fun. Texas and Oklahoma don't want no part of this. Welcome to the world of the SEC. Can you imagine what's going on at the football offices of LSU right now? Can you imagine Brian Kelly being like, what? What if I walked into here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what have I done walked into here?
Yes, he is doing it. Now,
what the hell? What in Sam hell did I get myself into here?
I feel like he has now worked on a complete like Zydeco, like Cajun accent.
Ooh,
now.
Boy, this guy. This here spell has become wondrous, I guarantee. Who does hey I gonna go to this SEC like this? Woo wee.
So did he pick up the jaw harp or the washboard?
The washboard. And he sounds like the water boy now. Like that's all that Brian Kelly sounds like.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
I want to know what Mike Leach was doing. Does he know yet?
You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do.
Don't you just picture him? He's sitting on the couch or like leaning back on like a spring-loaded desk chair, and he's balancing a bag of gummy bears on his belly. And he's just eating one slowly, one after the other.
Yeah, which is good.
Yep. That's all he's doing. And Lane Kiffin isn't part of this yet, other than to say he's speechless.
which is a thing that if Lane Kiffin is speechless, that means that we have gone above and beyond. And that's what I love about it. I love the ridiculousness of it. The ridiculousness of both of these dudes talking about it like, oh, well, look at what they're doing over there. We're not doing that over here.
We do it the right way. Nick Saban actually said we do it the right way. Oh, really? No. What would that be then? How would you describe what the right way is?
Look, let me tell you something, Dan Bernstein. I don't know how they do football at Duke, but in Alabama,
bad is how they do it.
We do it the right way.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't pay the players that much money. We pay them less, except the quarterback who makes $1 million. Everybody, well, and maybe a couple other guys, but that's the right way.
The sad, like, we could, you and I feel like could do like a super serious take on this. Cause look, there's college basketball coaches that have gone to jail for the stuff that we're talking about now. There are people that are serving time, federal time, for this stuff that we're talking about. And it's just so ridiculous. It's a power vacuum that none of these guys was able to get ahead of. And now they're like, I don't get to be king of all of this?
But with every warning sign, it didn't blindside them. That the comeuppance here is so powerful and so obvious. They had every warning, years and years and years of lower court rulings. And if you actually listen to lawyers about what was probable and constitutional scholars are like, yeah, you know, it's probably going to get struck down. And you, a unanimous ruling with absolutely, with unambiguous language, almost tauntingly so, almost spiking the ball on him. They had so many chances to get everything in order to avoid all of this, and they didn't want to.
Because it would be too much trouble for some of the people who are in charge that are going to eventually age out. Some people you're going to see just walk away from all of this because they don't want to live in the space where their power has been diminished. And like Campy was saying, it's no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. And now you have players, they should make their determination on everything. Like, what I don't understand about listening to Coach Saban talk about this is everything should be on the table for these students.
And the presumptuousness with which they tell them what should matter to them.
Yeah.
That's what bugs me too. Well, that's not what's important. These kids should be making their decisions. You don't tell the kids what's in it. They'll make the decisions. You tell them what you got for them.
Right.
And what's in it for them. And they'll make the decision. And the rest is none of your damn business.
And all of it, all of those things that he was talking about can be in their process. I do think that you should look at fit. And you should look at what coach is going to help me get to the next level. Are we going to win? Is there a good infrastructure for me to be a student?
If I want to be.
Right. If I want to be. Or what type of money is available to me if I am at this program? I have no problem with any student looking at all of that. Because if we took the football aspect out of it, those are things that you're going to look at as a college student anyway.
That's fine.
Like even if we took like just random student X going to college, there's going to be multiple factors that young man or woman is going to look at and say, do I like living here?
But that's up to them. You can't say, well, this is how they should be making their decisions based on this, this, and this, and not this, this, and this. You don't get to decide that. They get to decide if they want to play for you or not based on everything that is presented.
And it's just so hilarious that it's these two dudes. And now I'm just waiting. Like, I saw Parkins in the hallway, and I was like, I'm waiting for your guy to say something next. Dabo. Let's get Dabo involved in here.
Screw that guy.
Well,
that's another guy who's running up and down the hallways panicking right now.
Is he retired yet?
Dan, it's pretty much screw all of them.
Yeah, I know, but remember Dabo's the guy who said the day players get paid, he'd quit.
And he hasn't. Yeah.
Waiting.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Anytime.
And it's not going to happen. So there's so much here, but I'm just like living in the fun of it. Like the ridiculousness of Saban is there in front of boosters, and I agree with you. I think that was a call to arms. That was a, hey, to still compete, y'all need to open up them checkbooks.
Well, and then the question is, what are we paying you all the money for?
That's an excellent question.
And if that's the case, then why do you keep renegotiating your deal? What's your value, Nick? That if really all you are is a vessel for money, what advantage are you bringing for what we're paying you?
He doesn't have to renegotiate his deal, and maybe this is what Jimbo was talking about. His deal automatically renegotiates.
Amen.
And so when these guys, when Mel Tucker's making $9.5 million, Nick Saban looks over at his agent and goes, cha-ching, because we're about to get paid. When you start giving, what's his name? At Riley, whatever his name is.
Lincoln Riley.
When he's got houses and private jets and all the money in the world, Nick Saban gets to go, yeah, I still need to be at the top of that food chain so you guys can go and add some more dollars to what it is that I'm doing.
You know what? Then you go buy players then. If one of those boosters, I'm going to cutting checks, it's like, okay, then we're going to redistribute our money. Then we'll give more to the players and less to you.
That would be a seismic shift into the way that college football has been done for forever. And that's the problem, is that all of these guys are seeing their power whittle away. And especially in the SEC, where it's super competitive, and now one could argue that Kirby has caught up in the arms race in the SEC as far as recruiting classes go with those kids that he's got at Georgia. And you can make the argument that Texas A&M is not far away, and Lane Kiffin is not far away. These guys look at this and go, well, what? I'm supposed to be on top forever. That's not how this works, especially in the era of NIL. I'm here for all of these players exploring everything that they can, and if they feel like that they find a fit someplace, then go there and be a part of it. There's I think the largest Mercedes-Benz factory. Tuscaloosa is a fascinating place. The largest Mercedes-Benz factory in the United States is 10 miles outside of Tuscaloosa. And you see just Benzes when you're driving around that place. Now, Northport, maybe not as much, but T-Town, for sure. These kids, they deserve to have that. And the problem that all of the coaches haven't figured out is that they wanted someone else to do it. It's always been, it can't be the institution that does it. We've always wanted someone else to give our kids, and we don't know about it because it's a bag of money. And now the kids are like, oh, well, if we're being upfront about the bag, man, cool. Then
what you got for me?
I want to go to the place that's going to give me all of that stuff that you're talking about, plus what's in the bag. And I got no beef with it at all.
I've been waiting for these days to come for a long time. This is wholly good. It is good, and it is just, and powerful people who have been exploiting other people and exploiting more needy people are reacting out of fear. And that's a great day. You know what it's called? Seizing the means of production. That's what it's called.
So here's the serious part of it, Dan. When we add Deion Sanders to the mix, and Deion over the last couple of years has done a really good job of elevating HBCU football conversation. We've had more conversation about it, I think, in the last 3 years than maybe the previous 10 combined. What he's doing at Jackson State has got some people scared, and I think that Nick Saban is one of them. He mentioned Deion Sanders, and he talked about, you know, they got a kid at Jackson State that's making $1 million a year. Yeah. So, like, that levels the playing field. It gives the players options. And for forever, HBCUs in particular have had to be in the background. And they've had to make appeals to players on a different level. And Deion's talked about this, and I agree with a lot of what he says, like that there's some strength in being able to offer an athlete a place where they might feel more comfortable, to go and play. But if you're now saying, hey, our games that used to be banished to being on an app or being on BET back in the day, now these games are not only being played on ESPN, our coach is a celebrity, and his celebrity raises the profile of us and our school, which means...
And the opponents they play.
100%, because they got Jackson State got destroyed in the bowl game at the end of the season that they played. And it was, you know, another HBCU that they're losing to. So, yes, all of that stuff, it adds to it. And I understand completely when Deion will probably go off later on this afternoon about it. He's justified.
Sure he is. There's another argument, too, and this is sort of stands, this inverts the pyramid a little bit, where rather than schools pretending, hiding behind the lie of an educational process, what if now your motivation as a university and the way you handle your alumni and the way you handle your connections and your support system is graduates from this school will then be more successful in the business world? If we support them better and we look out for our people better, that's going to create more opportunities for them. And then maybe later on, 20 years from now, if that person wants to donate a little bit more money to the football program, it becomes it's a positive spiral rather than a negative spiral. And say, look, guess what? We are investing in education for a lot of people here. It may not be on the football team, but it may be somebody here who comes out with we've got more resources because of football. We can plow a lot of those resources into hiring better professors and having a better educational process. Those people have better jobs. They make more money. We got more money to spend on players.
That's a galactic view that college football coaches only use to add money to their own bank accounts. That they don't think of it as the collective we. And they don't think of it as we can make a better...
They say it. They just don't mean it.
And I'll just say that in Alabama's case, there is that. Like the grad school that I came out of, what they've done for resources inside of Bryant-Denny Stadium is amazing. The studios that they've built that... the students can try and better themselves and work in the communication business is great. That stuff is happening. It's just a matter of, well, are we taking too much power away from you? And are you uncomfortable with the fact that not just power is being taken away from you and that the wealth of college football overall has been redistributed, but now those 17-year-old kids, those 19-year-old kids, those 22-year-old kids now have some agency. And they get to make choices that for a long time, that kind of like the babality of college sports is, oh, well, you got to go someplace where you've got your surrogate father. I got a dad. He's great.
How about the fact that also, and if they don't like it at any point, they can leave.
They can
leave.
The
idea of this indentured commitment at some point being, no, not anymore. You got to keep me happy.
Yes, the indentured commitment, and people think that these kids are getting guaranteed four-year scholarships. That is not the case. They review after every year, and if there's a glut at your position, you can end up being gone. And so, yeah, I do think that the transfer portal has made things more difficult, but too damn bad. It's too bad that things have become that difficult for you. You are, in most cases, the highest paid employee in the state. Figure it out and figure out how you can make this work.
And Saban even said, well, how am I supposed to handle a locker room? I don't know. You're Nick Saban. You're the great Nick Saban.
You've literally done it at the highest level when guys are making money. And your best friend in coaching has done it with people making a ton of money. If you want to know how to do it, ask Bill Belichick how to do it. You guys sit down and talk about football all the time. Talk about how to handle this. And use your experience of 50 years in this sport to come up with a new plan. You have to reinvent yourself. When? Like, it's like, for
that's
real.
That's why,
like,
it's so much fun.
And it's so hysterical. It's so, and seeing Jimbo, I like, let's go, Jimbo. Listen, tell him why you mad, son.
You have any swigging out of his water bottle? He's cutting off the questions and answering them before they're finished being asked.
I like what you said, too. This idea of them using the shield of the kids, too, is very reminiscent of, I'm a man, I'm 40.
Come after me.
I'm a man, I'm 40.
You don't downgrade him? Come on. Stop pretending.
For forever, it's been the wink and nod system that we all know is happening, whether we're talking about college football or men's college basketball and super elite levels of women's college basketball, where stuff like this goes on and we know it goes on and everyone's like, oh, it's totally going on. To have these two old men get in front of cameras and microphones yesterday and being like, you know what's going on? I've discovered that there's malfeasance going on in college football.
Yet we're doing it the right way. We do that malfeasance. I mean, the college football the right way.
And I know exactly where it's happening. It's happening at College Station, Texas, with Jimbo Fisher. Well, sir, I am offended that you would say that. I would say that the malfeasance is taking place in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
It's great. It's going to get better. It's going to get better.
I can't wait till more people jump into this. And I love, like, I have affection for Lane Kiffin. So I love that Lane Kiffin is just like, yeah, I kind of could have told you that this is the thing that was going to happen. And I've been out here just kind of doing that for forever. And people were getting mad at me for doing it and telling you the truth about what was going on and what we were doing.
So be honest, did you have the Bama sweatshirt here ready to
go in a
locker?
No, I put it on as soon as I saw Jimbo go
crazy. Okay, all right.
I was like,
okay.
let's just have fun. Like, let's just lean into the ridiculousness of it and show up and roll tight and all of that good stuff.
All right, go get
college
it.
Football is back, baby. We back. We out here yelling at people and lying on ourselves and everything else. Let's go. Roll tight.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.